Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 56 of Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville. We're back after a few weeks off, and episodes will be a little bit more sporadic now in the off season as we focus on real life shit. It's just myself and Jerry with you this week, looking ahead to the meat market that is the NFL free agency period 2019. That kicks off on March 13th at about 4 o'clock Eastern time. So first we'll chat about some of the terms you're going to hear a lot about over the next few weeks of free agency. And we'll also discuss the top 12 free agents coming up in this year's class and where we think would be good fits for them if they change teams. So a bit of free agency chat this week, myself and Jer, on episode 56 of Paddy Pigskin. Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hate and say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. As it's episode 56, of course, it's the one and only LT, Lawrence Taylor, legendary linebacker for the New York Football Giants. LT was born in Williamsburg, Virginia in 1959. Played football and baseball at Lafayette High School in Williamsburg. Wasn't really heavily recruited out of high school, but he went on to play college ball at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Initially as a defensive lineman, but he did switch to linebacker before the 1979 season. He was recognized for his intensity at the college level and was a first-team All-American. He was also the ACC Player of the Year in 1980. The Giants took him second overall in the 1981 draft, and he would play all 13 years in the NFL as a Giant in what would be a legendary career. He was a member of the Giants Super Bowl 21 and 25 winning teams, beating the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills and poor old Jim Kelly. His accolades, fucking very long, could be here all night listing them off, but the main ones, 10 Pro Bowls, 8 first team All Pros. He was the 1986 NFL MVP. The year I was born. I don't know if that's a coincidence. NFL all-time team. He also has the number 56 jersey retired in the Giants organization. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1999. And his stats are equally impressive. He had 1,089 tackles, 132 sacks, and 9 interceptions. And we'll include his two defensive touchdowns as well. So that's it, episode 56. Player dedication is the legend that is LT Lawrence Taylor. I have Jer here beside me, so let's get cracking with this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I'm all in my bag, as hard as it get, I do not throw powder, I might take a sip, I might hit the blunt, but I'm liable to trip. I ain't popping no pill, but you do as you wish. I roll with some fiends, I love them to death, I got a few mil, but not all of them rich. What good is the bread if my niggas is broke? What good is first class if my niggas can't? That's my next mission, that's why I can't quit. Just like LeBron, get my niggas more chips. Just put the Rolly right back on my wrist. This watch came from Drizzy, he gave me a gift. Back when the rap game was praying like this. To act like two legends cannot coexist. But I never beef with a nigga for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's gonna be legit. It won't be for clout, it won't be for fame. It won't because my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my... So I have Jared here beside me. How's it going, man?
All right, Gary.
Been a few weeks off. What have you been up to?
Not much. Fucking chilling. Just like eagerly waiting to get this back going, you know? Like, so much has happened since then. It's just like, it's fucking in the past and there's no point dragging it up, you know?
Yeah. Well, we've been watching a little bit of the Alliance American football. It's been all right, like.
Yeah, no complaints. 8-0. Can't argue there.
That's right, yeah. Jared is 8-0 in picks, so he's off to a hot start. I think I'm 6-2. I just copied all your picks in week 2. Was it grand?
He knows.
So, yeah, I mean, like, a lot of those players could probably hang with the twos, I would say, in the NFL. Yeah. Like, some of them are fucking serious players that had quite good experience in the NFL. So, anyway, it's football on a Sunday and a Saturday, so we'll keep watching it if the product is good on the field. We'll move back to the NFL anyway. So, we're coming up to the feeding frenzy that is free agency in, what's it now, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks away?
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 3 weeks
away.
3 weeks, I believe. So, some people, they hear terms when it comes to free agents and they're like, they might not know what it is. Like, if you're new to the game of NFL or football
or new to the NFL, you might be hearing a lot of phrases getting thrown around over the next few weeks and be like, what the fuck does that mean? So to save you the hassle of having to go on and Google it, we're going to explain some of the ones you're going to hear. So you're going to see a lot of free agents hit the market when their contracts are up.
Yeah.
Just before whatever it is, 4 o'clock on March 13th. So there's going to be different groups of free agents. So the first one, an unrestricted free agent. That's the classic free agent whose contract has expired. That guy is free to sign with any team he wants, but he has to have accrued 4 seasons on an active NFL roster. So that doesn't include practice squad. So if he's been on an NFL active roster for 4 years, he is an unrestricted free agent.
Doesn't have to be the same NFL roster, just on NFL rosters. Okay.
On an NFL one. So you could be bouncing around. You've been on an active roster for 4 different calendar years or 4 different seasons.
They should change that because CJ Mosley was on 4 teams in 1 year. Not CJ, CJ Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true, yeah. But he's in the league, what?
He's in it a long time.
Is he? Yeah. He might only be, I don't know, he might only have 3 or 4 years, I think.
He's a free agent, isn't he? I believe so.
But in the meantime, yeah, feel free to look it up. But so that's the main one, the unrestricted free agent. Classic, he's able to sign with whoever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets a bit interesting. We get to the restricted free agent. So we spoke about this a little bit before we came on, and it's kind of hard to put it into one or two sentences of a clear definition.
Yeah.
So I'll give 2 examples of restricted free agents in 2019, then I'll explain what it means. Robbie or Robbie Anderson, some people have pronounced it either way, wide receiver for the Jets. He is a restricted free agent this year. Alex Collins, the Irish dancing running back for the Baltimore Ravens. He is also a restricted free agent. What these guys are free agents with 3 seasons on an NFL roster. No more or no less. So there's 2 options for a restricted free agent. The first is to agree just a normal long-term deal with that team.
Yep.
So they have a normal long-term deal. They don't have to worry about, you know, moving on. They stick with that team. The second option is for the team to place a tender on the player. So if another team wants him, they lose a predetermined draft pick. So restricted free agents, their team can match any offer from another team. So let's say Robbie Anderson, restricted free agent with the Jets. Say the Broncos or something like that come in and say, we want to give him this deal, this amount. The Jets can match that offer. If they don't match it and he walks, they get a compensatory draft pick and it's predetermined. So you'll often hear a first round or a second round tender. So I think it happened with Brandon Cooks 2 years ago, where the Patriots wanted to get him, but there was a first round tender placed on him because he was a first rounder himself. So kind of makes sense. And he has kind of been living up to what you would look from in a first to second round, you know, late first round draft pick. So that's a restricted free agent. The team that he's already on has a chance to match the offer. Otherwise, he walks and they get a compensatory draft pick in return if he joins another team. And there's different amounts for first round tender. For example, it's $4.4 million. Second round tender is $3.1 million.
Okay.
That's because they're still technically within the first iteration of their deal because they're within 4 years. Yeah. Most rookie deals are 4 years. Then it gets even more interesting. You have the third version of a free agent in the NFL is an exclusive rights free agent. So that is a player whose contract expires before 3 seasons on an NFL roster. So we have the 4, we have the 3. This is anything less than 3 years.
Okay.
So that's mainly undrafted guys, practice squad players that may have been active for a year or something like that. And these guys, they can't negotiate with other teams.
They can't?
They cannot.
Okay.
Their only option is to accept a 1 year, it's about $620,000 tender from their team if it's offered to them. So a few examples of exclusive rights free agents in 2019. A few that we know well.
Yeah.
Jake Elliott.
Kicker.
Your kicker. Aldrick Rosas, my kicker. For the Giants. And also Davis Webb, interestingly, who was drafted 2 years ago with the Giants. He's now with the Jets. Those guys are all exclusive right free agents. So they only negotiate, well, they can't, they have no negotiation really. they'll either be released or they can only sign what that tender, the 1 year tender from the team that they're with. So Jake Elliott, for example, they'll probably just give him $600,000 or whatever, and he'll be the kicker for the year.
Worst things as a kicker.
Absolutely, yeah. Kicking an old fucking piece of pigskin around and get 600 grand, I'd happily do that. And then the two last phrases you will hear, and there is a bit of a difference between them. So the franchise tag, that's a common enough one.
Yep.
Most people would have an idea is. 1 year deal, can't sign with another team, and it's the average salary of the top five players at that position. So naturally, the QB is the most coveted position in football. The franchise tag fee for quarterbacks in 2019, 25 million. Can you guess what the second dearest position is in the NFL after the quarterback?
Defensive end?
Yeah, the guy trying to get the quarterback, yeah. Have a stab at what the franchise tag is for 2019.
Guessing 22.5, 21.
No, actually quite a bit less. I was surprised. 18 million.
Really?
I was expecting it to be in the 20s as well. I was surprised to see a drop off of about 7. Because it's kind of quarterback and then everybody else.
Yeah, there is
a bit of a gulf between.
I just thought maybe with some of the deals that like Aaron Donald signed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get all these players that are trying to say they're not defensive tackles or defensive ends
because
they rotate around the line, you
know? Absolutely, yeah.
Or if you're a tight end saying you're a receiver, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, you know, you get slot receivers that are still grouped in with wide receivers. And then you have, as we'll chat about later on, you got inside linebackers normally aren't paid as much as outside linebackers. So, you know, you can avail or suffer as a result of your position, even though you might be one version of that position. So, who do you think is third after QB and D-end?
Has to be receivers, no?
Wide receiver, yeah. 17 million. Not bad.
Worst things.
So that's the franchise tag. Famous franchise tag standoffs, I guess you could say, in the last few years. Well, Kirk Cousins.
He made 45 million nearly.
Not
two
bad.
Franchise
so,
tags.
And then he gets the 84. So what's that? He's made 120 something million. And he's gotten
in
all
3
of
years,
it.
Yeah.
And he hasn't won a playoff game. Not bad.
Good man.
Fair play to him. If you can get it, get it. And then we go to the transition tag.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit different. So Le'Veon Bell, he was given the transition tag in 2018.
Okay.
He sat out. He missed out on 14.8 million. He wanted to keep himself healthy. So by the time he was released, well, they said they're not going to tag him with anything this year. So when the new season kicks in, he is free to sign with anybody. And
still though, 14 million, it's a lot to just leave on the table.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Okay, so you'd need to be getting
money you'll never get back.
He better hope that he is going to get some serious guarantees on whatever contract he signs.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah. His agent is going to be a busy man making sure he can maximise all the guarantees on that. So the transition tag, 1 year deal, it can be used in place of the franchise tag. So
yeah,
just to let everybody know, every team, you can't have both.
No.
It's either or. So every team only has one franchise tag or transition tag. So if you use your franchise tag, that's it for the year.
Is the transition tag something similar to the restricted free agent and teams matching them?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So that's spot on. It actually gives the team the right of first refusal. So they have 7 days to match another team's offer.
And that team has to pick, if they decide not to match, that team has to pick up that tag option, be it a very defensive end for 17 million.
And the difference is the team that's letting them go gets no compensation if the player signs. So they have that 7 day to sit on it.
Yeah.
You know, someone might come in. So for example, last year, let's say Le'Veon Bell signed that transition tag. Someone that's running back needy this year, maybe that did it last year, someone like the Jets or something like that. They're like, right, we're going to offer him this. The Steelers would have had 7 days to sit on it, decide whether they want to match it. Or he gets let go then to that team and they have to give him that massive fucking deal that they're promising him. And then the Steelers get nothing in return. So I don't know if there's many players now this year that are in those kind of waters of getting the transition tag. There is a bit of talk maybe about potentially Landon Collins, but I don't know how that's going to go. So they're the different pieces of jargon you're going to hear. Over the next few weeks, you got all the different free agents. There's three types, and then you got the franchise tag and the transition tag. So now that we've all cleared that out of the way,
there we go.
We are gonna, this is a short episode this week. We thought we you know, we haven't been on in a few weeks. We thought we'd get something out there. So We'll do another one when actually free agency kicks in. The three of us will be on, and I think we did it last year, didn't we? And we all reacted to who's going where, because it's a fucking mental carry on. So the top 12 free agents in our books.
In no particular order.
In no particular order, yeah. Lots of defenders, though. So,
very heavy draft class this year for defenders and free agents. You know?
It really is. Yeah, it's quite deep. And then interestingly, you can kind of look at the draft as not being deep in skill position players. On
that's
offense.
Something that's very defensive. You're looking for O linemen, receivers. There's not a big pitch.
It's barren, because you look at a lot of the mock drafts, and some of them have like five defensive players going in the first five picks.
Yeah,
that's. That's not normal, you know, as we know. Like, you'll always get a little offensive player in there. So, DeMarcus Lawrence, defensive end, Dallas Cowboys. 25 sacks over the last 2 years, as we unfortunately had to watch that. He was consistently getting pressure off the edge and getting to our quarterbacks. It's more than likely that they're going to keep him. They're either going to, they'll tag him or they'll pay him.
It'll be a franchise tag, not a transition tag.
Or they don't want anybody getting in there.
But I think they got to pay Dak and Zeke coming up soon enough, you know. So, again, this is where the smart GMs are trying to work out when's the best time to use a tag on him.
And
it's going to fit in with the cap space. I think they'll tag him.
Yeah.
Just because they'll try to get Dak signed sooner rather than later and use the leverage that he didn't have a great year last year, you know, and get him not on a massively big contract but a good contract. Because they're probably going to have to pay Zeke when he comes up, you know. And I know teams don't really want to pay running backs.
So we'll have a little game: bag or tag. So he's either gonna secure the bag or he's gonna get the tag. So you think tag, right?
I think tag.
I think tag as well. If let's say if they weren't to tag him or pay him, and he was allowed walk, in your opinion, would you have a good fit for someone like DeMarcus Lawrence, defensive end, getting pressure?
Yeah. There's no shortage of teams out there that could use a guy for this sketch. You know, I think the Lions could use him.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks could use him. Somebody like that there.
I was going to go Raiders because the Raiders fucking let their best, they let their best pass rusher walk. And he's signed with Chicago.
They could be looking to draft though, you know.
Yeah,
because
true.
They might want to pay somebody big straight off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, they're acquiring all these first round picks.
Yeah.
You know, so they may take man out of Kentucky, Allen.
Yeah.
And
if somehow Bosa falls, which he won't, but
yeah, I don't
they could always trade up and if Gruden's
yeah,
in love
so
him.
I think you got Seattle there. The Niners may take him instead of having to draft another fourth person from a defensive line in 5 years. The Eagles could take him because they're not getting any younger in that defensive line, you know. But it's like you don't let him go to someone in your division probably.
Yeah.
You know, you transition tag him and
suicide.
You say where he goes.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell.
Bag.
Secure the bag. Running back, formerly. Is he? No, he's still technically a Steeler. Sat out last year, as we said, lost out on nearly $15 million to keep healthy for his free agency tour. My fit would be.
Was he you tagging him or bagging him?
He's not getting tagged. That's kind of an easy one.
He's
not getting the tag. He's getting the bag.
Is he getting a good bag, what he thinks he deserves, or what way do you think
I think his
happen?
Nonsense last year might hinder his leverage in contract negotiations.
That, I think
he was
teams are seeing that you don't need first round big bucks running backs, you know. You can get them in the second, third rounds.
He is second in the NFL in yards from scrimmage, only behind LeSean McCoy between 2014 and 2017. I think he had 7,000 yards
and that's
from scrimmage.
A number of a year out or so with the weed ban. And
he missed a few games there. So he will get the bag. And my fit is the Jets, which a lot of people have been saying Jets.
Yeah.
They have a new head coach. They've got plenty of cap space. And they want to put weapons around second-year quarterback Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those, like, it would be a no-brainer were it to happen. So I say Jets for Bell. And bag. What are you saying? It's got to be bag because
well.
It's no tag, right?
You know, I think it's the Jets as well just because of the money they have. I don't think he's going to get the money he thinks he's going to get because everybody's waiting for him to sign.
We need Barry here. Barry's the numbers guy. Barry's able to fucking pluck these deals out of his arse and he is going to get 4 years and fucking $56 million or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, with an essentially he's only going to be a 4 or 5 year essentially with 3 years guaranteed.
Yeah.
And a 2 year on the last two years we'll have to let him go. I think either Steelers or possibly Bucks.
Bucks, yeah.
You know?
He lives in Florida.
You know,
that's where he's been in the strip clubs and on the fucking jet skis all the time. So
you know, I think that'd be a good fit for him, you know.
Yeah.
Good team down there, take the pressure off Jameis by having a good running back. You know, strengthen up your O-line then in the draft side of things.
They haven't had really a good running game or a good running back there in the last few years, so he would definitely add to that. Next up, we have Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
Outside linebacker. Sometimes he's a D-end. Houston Texans.
The guy that gets punished there.
Yeah.
Because of his versatility.
Yeah, exactly. 18.5 sacks in the last 2 years. It does help that you have J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless on the defense with you. I'll let you take the floor on this one, Jadeveon Clowney. Bag him or tag him?
Tag him.
Tag him?
I think you tag him just because you lost a year or so with the knee injury. Now, bear in mind, he's bared fruits the last couple of years since then. But I just think you give him another year to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And Perry doesn't get injured. Franchise tag him. And it allows you then to like shore up other areas in free agency because you've got one or two more defenders leaving as well.
Mm.
And you're going to use the tag on Clowney, maybe try to re-sign them to a different deal or try to bring somebody in free agency to help your offense.
I'm looking up here the transition the franchise tag for a linebacker. Just a shade under $16 million.
I don't he won't be happy about it. But
well, it's not that far off the ends though. It's only $2 million off. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like a surprise.
He's not going to be happy with being tagged.
None of them really are. Kind of,
you know, so.
Unless it's a quarterback.
And even then, Kirk Cousins wasn't happy with two tags and $45 million.
Greedy fuck. I have him getting tagged as well. I think it's a logical decision. Were he not to be tagged, do you know what? I'm going to fucking stick the Giants down as a decent fit. Because the Giants were 30th overall. In sacks.
They could get rid of Olivia Vernon. Yeah. He hasn't produced what he's needed to do.
Yeah. A lot of money there for not much production. They haven't been able to get to the quarterback. They only had 30 sacks. So just averaging under two a game. Not good enough. But I think they'll likely tag him. But were he to walk, the Giants would be on my radar for a potential landing spot for Clowney.
Yeah.
Right, we'll get to your boy, Big Dick Nick, quarterback, Philadelphia Eagles.
So I'm just going to go with it because it seems to be the trend everybody's going with, and I haven't seen anything that's going to change my mind. I think they're going to tag him.
Which tag? Which
the franchise tag.
Okay.
Which the NFL is totally against because when you tag someone, they have to be deemed that they're able to compete for a spot in your team that year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to tag him and then trade him for collateral.
Yeah.
But I think they'll tag him, which gives him the $25 million. Where he goes then.
How much more is that than Wentz? What's Wentz on?
Because Wentz still is on $25 million alone, nearly. He didn't even get $25 million in his full 4 year contract. Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
You know.
The backup.
But
it was kind of like the Jimmy G situation.
But wherever he goes, he's gonna be a starter. So he's earning starting money then.
Yeah.
But with this, again, I think they'll franchise him because they won't want him to walk within the division. Because there's two teams there that will take him in the Giants or the Redskins, because they need QB. And you don't want him to face him twice a year and possibly eliminate you from the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to control where he goes. And I think everybody's saying Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because ideally, there's like only five teams out there that actually need a quarterback. Like for years in the NFL, it was like only four or five teams had a legit starting quarterback. Now there's just an influx of quarterbacks in the NFL. And you don't have teams to put these guys.
Mm.
So there's only four or five teams out there that need a quarterback. And Jacksonville makes the most sense. Like, you've got your team set, they're ready to go for a Super Bowl run, you just need a quarterback to lead them.
Yeah.
And they run plays that the drags and the crossing routes suit Nick altogether with them, and the occasional
it's
bomb.
It's like you playing Madden. You fucking love your drag routes. Boom. I can never stop them. I know it's coming. I still can't fucking stop them. I agree. I had the Jags down. They've got the talent on defense. And now the new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Who he knows?
Yeah, so got he that knows. Link as well. He's been there. He wasn't really great at the Vikings. You know, I wish they'd kept their old offensive coordinator there. I'm just blanking on his name right now. He had the bullet for the shit that Blake Bortles was. But this was a guy that was helping Blake Bortles beat the Patriots and everything, you know?
Yeah.
If they'd kept him there, fuck me. Would have been a serious outfit. But he's there. He'll go down, sweat his balls off in Jacksonville, not have to pay tax or set tax on it.
Yeah.
We'll enjoy that there. But I think whoever he wants to go to, he wants to sign a term contract as opposed to just playing on the 1 year contract again.
Yeah. I think a lot of those boys have houses in Florida for a reason. You ever notice that? If that's their primary residence, they're probably none of them are probably paying state tax. Like
that, and they're not fucking. Well, I don't know. Are they? Yeah.
Because if it's your primary residence for a certain amount of months a year, like, because you know, AB, he only
he goes by Big Chest.
Sorry, Big Chest. Yeah. He only lives in Pittsburgh like when the season's going on.
Of course, you would.
Where
the fuck would you live there otherwise?
True. Yeah. So I'm sure they all have their little loopholes.
But you need to like a Bono. Bono lives in Switzerland.
His fuck all tax. Him and Jeff Bezos, the biggest fucking tax evaders going. So you have him getting tagged, but you have him staying as an Eagle, yeah?
Tagged staying as an Eagle, and we'll trade him out of it.
Okay.
You know, because you have to stay an Eagle so you can tag him first.
Yeah.
So we'll tag him and we'll send him.
What I'm saying is, opening day, is he going to be in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform or Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'd probably see Jacksonville.
Yeah, I am down as Jacksonville as well. And by the way, he's high up on the list, but it's not really nothing against Nick Foles. Like, there's better players that are lower down the list, but because it's not often a Super Bowl winning quarterback hits the free agent market. Yeah. It's not that often that happens. So for that alone, that's why he's quite high up on the list. Next, we are going to a local player here, Trey Flowers, defensive end. Kind of like a multifunctional player really for the Patriots. He's fresh off a Super Bowl win. He can cause problems from, I think Greg Rosenthal called him like a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. He plays well from a few different positions. And we know Bill doesn't like being held. Not, we don't know if he's holding to ransom, but Bill doesn't really like to really splash out on guys, you know, that are approaching free agency. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time he lets these guys walk. So I don't know if he's going to
resign.
Trey Flowers is a guy that could, if they don't tag him, with $18 million, that's a lot. I just can't see Bill giving one guy $18 million on defense.
Considering
you know?
Their whole offensive line made $15 million last
year. Yeah, exactly. I just don't know. So I think there could be a good market for Flowers. He'll have a few suitors.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a few suitors. I think he leaves and gets a bag from another team.
And who would be a fit for Trey Flowers in your opinion?
Well, the Rams could be a fit if Sue doesn't resign there.
I guess they'd have would they have a bit of cap room there?
Oh, they have serious cap room.
Have they?
There.
Yeah.
Who else? Teams that need interior, like the Arizona Cardinals, may take him. You know, Kim Dichi hasn't done too much out there.
Providing they don't draft Bosa anyway.
Well, you said Bosa on the outside though. You got Chandler Jones.
Bosa would
be
cheap. Yeah. Jesus, that'd be.
You just need somebody in the middle, right? The days are gone where like premium edge rushers are great. Quarterbacks getting the ball off so quick.
Mm.
The good quarterbacks are getting the ball off quick against top edge rushers.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could touch Brady.
Yeah, like look at Bosa and Ingram.
Bosa and him couldn't get near him, you know.
I don't think they got a single sack. They may have gotten one or something.
You know, D Ford barely got near him. And they were fucking second or third in the sacks all year. Just couldn't get near the guy.
The Rams, did they even get a single sack? Maybe one.
Maybe one if they're lucky. I know Donald threw him to the ground after he released it.
I think they might have only got
one sack.
Actually,
he did. The fumble. That considers a sack, isn't it? Fumble.
Sack and strip, yeah.
But they couldn't get near him, you know. So these top quarterbacks, you need to get the pressure up the middle in their face as well.
Yeah.
So I could see the Rams taking him.
Yeah.
The Eagles may fucking negotiate some sort of good contract with him for 2 years or something. So
okay.
I got suitors.
I got the Jets going down there as a potential fit because, again, a lot of things with the Jets. Cap room.
Yeah.
And they got Greg Williams there. He wants studs on his defense. He'll want to bring a few guys in that he has picked. So, doubt that they'll let him walk to a divisional rival, but you never know. I guess if he's free to go, he's free to go. He can sign with who he wants. But I have the Jets there as a decent fit. And maybe that will be his way of saying, well, fuck you. You didn't pay me. So,
yeah. You know, Brian Flores could ring him up and say, hey, you want to come to Miami?
Absolutely, yeah. And then we'll move on to a defensive tackle. He's the only player to sack Tom Brady multiple times in a Super Bowl. He sacked him 3 times in Super Bowl 51.
Yeah.
That's Grady Jarrett for the Falcons. He's more of a run stuffer, even though we did get a lot of sacks in that game. But in my eyes, this is a tag him situation for me. I think he's a strong candidate to be tagged. franchise tagged.
Yeah, because they got to pay Julio and some of these boys.
Yeah.
So I think he gets the tag. They'd be smart to work a contract with him because he is a fucking disruptor in the middle of that,
absolutely, that defense. Yeah.
But I think as well they'll tag him and try and work something out.
15.5 million defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Franchise tag there. So we're about agreeing. Tag Grady Jarrett, yeah. If he was to walk, I'm always going to have if scenario. I like Miami as a fit for him. They were 31st against a run, even though they had, was it De'Ron Payne, I think they drafted out of Alabama last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted to be a run stuffer, but what's the other guy? What's the guy out of Washington? There was two guys, defensive tackles, drafted back-to-back. One of them went to Washington.
The guy went to the Bucks, didn't he?
I think it was De'Ron Payne, and then it was Lota Vaye, I think it was, actually, from Washington that went there. I think it was back-to-back. That's why I'm getting the mixed up. But they were still bad against the run. Grady Jarrett would offer them a definite upgrade in the middle.
Must have been a second-round pick. Was it a third-round pick? Second-round pick?
No, it was first-round.
They took Minka, the Dolphins, last year.
Did they not have two picks?
Oh. I believe they only had one. Took Fitzpatrick in the first.
Okay. Then I'm clearly talking out me holding.
Because the Bucks took Washington.
Oh, that's right. I knew it was a Florida team. That's why they were so fucking bad against the run then. Because that guy wasn't even on their team.
And they're cleaning house. You know, they're getting... Amendola's probably not going to back. He's probably going to be back here in New England.
Yeah.
You know.
And Florida, like you said, Flores, he wants a few defensive studs on his side as well there. So if he was to not be tagged by the Atlanta Falcons, I have the Miami Dolphins.
Really? Okay.
As a good fit for Grady Jarrett. Interesting one coming up now. Earl Thomas, safety, Seattle Seahawks. As we know, shitty year for him last year. Fractured his leg in... It's kind of a weird tackle against the Cardinals in week 4. And he had been angling. He had a bit of a hold out there. He had been angling for a big deal. Will he get it now after this latest injury? Because he missed 5
He'll
games.
He'll get a deal. I don't think it'll be big. It's not going to be with the Seahawks, I don't think. I just think the way it happened there, I just think it's probably best for both of them to move on.
So they still got to the playoffs without him.
Yeah.
You know? They were getting good play on the defense from other positions.
So I'm guessing Cowboys,
yeah.
He said he wanted to play there.
Well,
called Jason Garrett to take me.
He went to Texas, so he obviously wants to be back in Texas,
you know,
there. I got the Cowboys
they
there.
They could use some help in the secondary, so...
Cowboys
make a perfect fit for him there.
They'll have all three phases covered because they've got Leighton Van Der Esch now, who's fantastic. They've got, if they hold on to DeMarcus Lawrence, they just shore up the back end. Cowboys' defense could be even better in 2019. So, we both have...
It's great to see all these great players go to teams, but like you don't want them to go to the teams in your division.
I know, yeah. It sucks balls, isn't it?
I just want you to be shite the whole season.
I just see him picking off Eli Manning in my future, and it's not nice. So bag, and he's securing a bag for the Cowboys, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. D Ford.
Bag. Chiefs.
offensive linebacker. Offensive linebacker? Outside linebacker. For the Chiefs, 13 sacks in his monster 2018 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Could be another player, maybe that's facing the franchise tag because he had that one good year. They're like, we want to see you reproduce you know, that kind of way.
Second year, yeah.
It's like, do we give him a massive contract after only one really good year? Do we give him one more year to prove himself?
I think they're getting rid of Justin Houston. So you may want to get this guy signed up because if he fucking kills it again next year, you're on the hook for a bigger contract.
Bigger one, yeah. So you think bag?
I think bag. Andy Reid's a smart guy, and I think they'll bag him, get him under contract, and they'll start shoring up other areas of that defense as well.
Okay.
Because if you just give him $16 million straight off the bat, when you could give him a bigger tag, give him more guaranteed money, and it saves you then for next year.
Yeah.
On what you own then. So I think he gets the bag with the Chiefs.
If he wasn't to get the bag, I have to call, even though they run a different system, the Colts have a 4-3, the Chiefs run the 3-4.
Yeah.
I've just because they have a lot of cap room, trying to get, you know, a few more players there on defense. Because even though they kind of perform well on the stretch, statistically in a few different columns, they still weren't amazing on defense.
Yeah.
It's
one of those hard ones then. You just like, because he's classified as an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
What's he going to be like as a true D end and a four down?
Exactly, yeah.
Line, you know, it's like the same with Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm.
Is he best standing up coming off the line? And you don't know if he's blitzing or if he's dropping into coverage or what do you do, you know?
I'm just playing devils. Yeah. Devil's advocate there. Here's a sensitive one now coming up for me. Landon Collins, safety, New York Giants. It's been a fucking emotional roller coaster on Twitter there the last few days. We were told he's cleared out all the stuff in his locker.
Well, I seen the brilliant thing with the reporter saying, it's not true, it's not true. And then he wrote back to the reporter saying, I have cleared everything out.
Yeah, he said the only stuff he left behind is stuff that he's not going to need.
Yeah.
So he is a guy, like he's gone to, I sound like Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy, he's gone to 3 Pro Bowls in 4 years. Initially in the start of his career with the Giants, he was a fucking baller. He was hard hitting, he was doing everything you expect a guy from Alabama to do on defense. Not amazing in coverage though, and his hard hitting style of play has not been as involved the last 2 years. Finished on IR there last few weeks, last 2 or 3 weeks.
Ended in week 13.
Week 13.
Shoulder,
So, I don't know. Like he could be a guy that gets tagged, but there is a bit of frosting in the relationship. The fact that he's gone in there, like why is he clearing his stuff out of the locker? They must have told him, look, we're not gonna tag
you. He's trying to call a bluff, you know, and say, hey, either take me, you don't, or I'm going. It's a tough one. So you said he's not great in coverage. Is he better zone coverage than he is man coverage?
Yeah, he's just like I've seen him getting burned a couple of times. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a big guy.
He is a big guy, yeah.
So
like when he does put the hat on guys, he fucking kills them. And he'll force a lot of broken up passes if he is good enough to get there. But sometimes like I've seen guys, you know, like guys in the slot or tight ends just running a simple corner route and he can't get there, you know. But when he does get there, it's fucking RIP because he's breaking lads up. But I just think, you know, as the game gets faster and you get a lot of these more athletic tight ends, and now, you know, the slot position seems to be getting a bit more attention from the likes of Edelman and those guys. I just think his skill set is kind of tricky to keep up with some of those guys. But obviously, I'd like to see him back in a blue jersey, but the franchise tag is 12.5 million rather for safety, so bit of a steep one. Gettleman is kind of in rebuild.
It's not the worst, but like Eli's eaten so much this year as well, you know, so that you gotta then try to think, what are you doing? So
and the likes of Ogletree, and there's some bad contracts there that he's inherited.
Like, which is like what you hear, that OBJ could be gone, you know, because he's taken up so much as well, where if you could trade him and get a first and a second next year and try to build a team out as opposed to one player taking all the money.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's what managers do. They come in to leave their print on it. You know, you look at the Raiders, man, he's just getting rid of all these bad contracts.
Yeah.
Great players.
Yeah.
Not great contracts. And
when he was
bringing in his players.
When he was on Giants Super Bowl winning organizations, Gettleman, like, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, there was no Odell contracts, guys, like, you know, getting so much money. Eli was still there, obviously, but he wasn't on as much as he is now. So maybe he's like, look, when we were winning Super Bowls, there weren't wide receivers getting whatever it is, fucking $20 million a year or whatever. So maybe he's like, right, we need to go back to those days.
Yeah, I think as these contracts get bigger, the cap gets bigger every year anyway.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the problem, is then players are exposing that and making the day you get all that money, as opposed to that increase being split across 3 players.
Yeah.
You got players demanding it all go to them. So
hypothetically speaking, if he's going somewhere, actually have the Redskins as a potential landing spot.
Really, within the division?
It would hurt, definitely, but if he's allowed walk, you know, he can sign with anybody he wants. They have to sort out Clinton Dix, but you could be looking at a number 21 Alabama safety replacing another one there.
Yeah.
That would be fucking bad to see him playing for a division rival, you know.
Would you rather see him go to the Redskins or Eagles?
Well, he plays the same position as Malcolm Jenkins now.
Yeah,
or is Jenkins a free safety or strong?
Jenkins free.
Okay, so
Collins is strong. He does play
safety.
Strong as well. He kind of moves around.
Yeah.
But it's a tough one. Like,
I'd probably prefer him to go to the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah. Just because the Eagles won a Super Bowl recently. I don't want them getting any more success. It's like when your neighbour gets a new car, you're like, you fucking prick, you.
What'd you do? It's a tough one because, as you said, all these players are getting faster.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to want to be in a division that's more physical, like the AFC North.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the AFC South. But then
he is more of a throwback safety where he just obliterates guys when he gets close to them, you know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if it's a bag or tag. I'm torn. I just don't know what's going to happen with him. It could really go either way.
Because I don't think he's going to like the tag.
No.
He's going to be rip shit. And I don't think he'll hold out on it the way Bell did, because I don't think he, at his position, he can't make that money up.
Yeah.
So.
And he's had 2 years of, like, I saw PFF had him as one of the worst, I think it was the worst safety in the NFC East last year.
Wow.
So he's behind Malcolm Jenkins, he's behind DJ Swearinger, he's behind all those guys. So, you know, teams are going to be looking at his production and be like, look,
where does he fit into our schemes?
If you take a year off, that's going to hurt his case. So he's going to have to, if he gets tagged, he's just going to have to fucking deal with it and play on it. Anthony Barr, we've got three left. Linebacker, Vikings. His lowest number of tackles in 2018. In his 5 year career, I think he had about 56 mm-hmm. tackles. He's still good against the run, even though he seems to be struggling a little bit in coverage, but he is a good run stopper. So the fact that he is good against the run will get him some good offers. So what do you reckon about his situation?
I don't know, because it's a tough one, because they've signed so many players there to big contracts on the defense.
Yeah.
And Sheldon Richardson is up for contract this year as well. And I think he's gone.
You think he's gone straight up?
I think he's gone, because there's no way you can fucking pay him big money and pay your other linebacker as well big money.
Mm.
And then you got Harrison Smith at the safety taking up big money, you know. And then if you decide to keep Richardson on a tag, it's just like, what do you do here, you know?
Yeah.
I just think he's gone. I think he's gone. I just think he can't.
Okay.
I don't think you can afford to keep him.
So where is he going?
It's a tough one. I could see him doing well in New York, the Giants. He's fast, you know. Mm-hmm. You just need to get to the quarterback. You see the Jets maybe looking at him. Okay. You got to look at teams that have money that aren't going to give him crazy contracts, but can fit it into their cap space to give him a half decent contract for 3 or 4 years as well. So I don't know. There's nobody really in the NFC North that I think needs him.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lions. But yeah, I just think he's gone. I need to put more thought into where he could end up.
Sure, yeah. But I've got the Rams, Los Angeles, as a potential landing spot. They were bad against, their linebackers were not great in general, but their best linebacker against the run last year was ranked 90th. That was Mark Barron.
Who's a safety? Playing linebacker.
They're
230 pounds.
Barr was ranked 17th against the run, so that would be a considerable upgrade for them. And he's a UCLA Bruin, so he'd be going back. That'd be his hometown team now.
Playing in the Coliseum, though.
Yeah, because that's Trojan territory. So I have them getting the bag, and I have them getting the bag from the Los Angeles Rams.
There you go.
Yeah, just they do need that help.
Lesh needs a smart man, so. They were getting run over.
That's it, yeah. We got two left. Okay. We got another linebacker coming up. CJ Mosley, a fucking bruiser of a linebacker from Alabama. He's a Baltimore Raven. And like I said, normally the inside linebackers don't get the big contracts in free agency, but he has been playing well. He has the 4 Pro Bowls on his resume.
Yeah.
Franchise tag would be pricey.
I think
for an inside linebacker, you know, because he's lumped in with the outside linebackers.
I think
that he's getting the bag.
I think he's getting the bag, because Suggs hasn't got too many years left. And
what's he in the league for? 16 years or something? Fucking balls so hard at university.
I just see him on Ballers every season giving out shout to the Rock about something. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, I think you can't let this guy go.
Yeah.
You can't. In that division, you can't let him go. Especially because the Browns are coming up and coming down. The Steelers are going the wrong way. You can't let the Browns take over the division, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he stays.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have him. Adam staying as well. I think it'd be foolish for a guy that's, you know, played at a high level for the last few years in a physical division, like you said. If you were to walk, I have the Broncos as a potential landing spot, because they've got Vic Fangio there now, former Bears defensive coordinator. Be a nice little fit there. You know, the Broncos defense historically has been a fucking hard one. Him, you know, behind Chubb and Von Miller would be a considerable threesome.
They're building up their defense again. So.
Exactly, yeah. So Vic Fangio's scheme that you have with the Bears, I think CJ Mosley would be a good fit there. But I do have him getting the bag. I think the Ravens need to lock him up now for a few more years. And our last one is the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, safety. He he kind of gambled on himself. He went with the 1 year deal,
yeah.
Took less than market value, $7 million with the Texans, and he definitely lived up to that. So he's definitely going to secure a nice payday this time around. It's a good free agent class for safeties.
For safeties, yeah.
Really is. Good. Like, you got,
you can afford them. You know, you got him, LaMarcus Joyner, Landon Collins,
Earl
Thomas. Is there anybody else? It's just Clinton Dix.
Pretty good. Pretty good class for safeties. It's not often a lot of high level players.
I would love the Honey Badger at the Eagles.
Would you? Yeah.
I just, I love them at his LSU days.
You want all the fucking free agents, like, good landing spot. Eagles. I want all the players.
They need it. And it's funny, we're basically just doing all defensive players here.
Yeah. But they're like, so they're the top boys.
Eagles, you know? Really need a lot of offensive weapons, but like somebody like Tyrone Mathieu, I just think him and Malcolm Jenkins pumping the team up before the game, dear Jesus, my the hairs would be standing.
I have the Chiefs are being linked with a lot of safeties.
That doesn't surprise me. With Eric Berry, yeah. You know, I think he could be gone.
They were 31st against the pass last year, and they really, really need some ballers on the secondary side of things there. So I've got Tyrone Mathieu more than likely not going to be re-signing with the Texans. Like, I think he's earned his right to
get
chat
to
teams and
get
the bag. So he's getting the bag. And in my alternate universe, he's getting the bag from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So that's our top 12. Fuck it, we'll include a special teams guy because it's an easy one. Steven Gostkowski, he's getting tagged, and he's getting tagged by the Patriots because they fucking tag kickers all the time. Do you want to know what the tag is for kickers, actually? Now that we bring it up, I'll let you have a guess.
1.2?
No, actually. So sorry, it's not just kicker. It's special teams, full stop.
Mm.
So I think Matthew Slater has even gotten the tag once. I could be wrong, but
yeah.
Right, so if it's special teamers, just in total.
For special teams.
What do you reckon?
It must be 1.92 million.
5.1 million.
For special teamers?
For special teamers.
Which is hilarious because you get the guy, what do you classify, who's your best special teamer? The guy that's gunning down the field?
Slater. Yeah. Matt Slater or Nate Ebner.
I suppose there was a couple of kickers set the market recently on like $4 or $5 million deals over 3 years.
Cody Parkey.
So.
And he's gone though. So, 5.1 million for Gostkowski if they do put the tag on him.
I don't think, there's no way they're paying him 5.1 million.
They've tagged kickers a few times. They've tagged him. Like,
they'd sooner give him fucking 4 years, 5 million than a 1 year, $5 million deal.
We just have to include some special teamers in there.
Yeah. Special.
We said this is a short episode, and as always, we shite on like 2 albums and it doesn't end up being too short.
What are we at, 45 minutes? 44?
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, that's our little free agency educational episode / preview of some of the big names that are going to be either becoming free agents or re-signing with their teams or getting tagged or whatever. That's it. Episode 56, Paddy Pigskin. Nothing more to add. Apart from AB is a fucking dickhead. I wouldn't want to touch him with a barge pole. He's just being a wanker now with the big chest. Would you fuck off?
Fucking.
And there's a lot of domestic issues apparently from down in Florida. There's a lot of trouble there.
Like, I don't know. Like, he's not wanting somebody to take on that contract. He wants to get a new contract. Whereas that contract looks good for whoever takes him on.
Mm.
The problem is then, do you get his 100% if you only take that contract? As opposed to giving him a big contract, the Eagles could use him because they don't have him.
I'm just saying. Fucking surprise, surprise.
who do they have there? Who do they have? Like, Alcohol is done now as well. You know, what do you do with Golden Tate? You sign him to a new contract?
Mm.
You know, Wallace was injured. So you need to give Carson some weapons, you know. Not have them all come back healthy when Nick Foles was playing. But would they trade him within state? Don't see why not. It's a 6-hour driveway and he's not in the same division.
So as far as I can see, the Eagles roster next year is going to have Dee Ford, Antonio Brown, and fucking Landon Collins,
Tyrone Mathieu. Or letting everyone go.
Basically a Pro Bowl team.
But no, like, teams have proved, like the Patriots, you don't need an Antonio Brown to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Actually, you're going to need a changing room that can handle his personality. Big which point. Is why I said the Eagles, because they've handled some strong personalities in the last few years. Michael Bennett coming in.
Yeah.
And all these guys, you know, especially with Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long with the protests. So they can handle their shit in there.
Mm.
He'll
be taken down a peg or two if he comes in with a fucking attitude, Ari.
He will be. And I think there's going to be so much shit in his contract if he gets one. you can't post from the locker room. Yeah. The minute you post something negative, boom, money's out of your pocket.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, but again, I don't know. Where do you go? Mm. Who takes them, you know? Imagine them on the fucking Texans with Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown.
That would be outrageous. Yeah, likes of JJ Watt now would take him down a fucking notch or two as soon as he walks in there. He'd be like, shut the fuck up and do your job.
Fucking just have Clowney stand next to him. Like, what? Or even just bring him to Jacksonville and have Calais Campbell look down.
Mr. Big Chest? You'll do fucking nothing. Right, we'll leave it at that. Episode 56. Thanks very much for tuning in. Keep an eye. We've got a few things coming up. We're going to do our combine again. You ready? We're actually going training right now for the combine.
That's next week, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll decide which week we do it. Next week or the week before.
Post-combine year. Fucking training in here. In a bad winter.
I've been training for months for this. We're going to have our little paddy combine number 2 coming up. So keep an eye on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Paddy Pigskin. Feel free to comment and, you know, interact with any of the posts we put up there. Lots of them are just for a bit of crack. So we appreciate all the stuff that goes on there and all the banter chat. Right, we'll leave it at that. Episode 56, Paddy Pigskin. Jer, thanks very much for coming on.
No problem.
We're going to go practice our 40-yard dashes now in the pitch black.
I thought it was bicep, tricep, superset.
Oh, yeah, supersets, bicep, tricep as well, yeah. Right, tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I just poured something in my cup, I've been wanting something I can feel, promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm don't make you real. Foot is on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand, don't I'm make dead in the real. Middle of two generations. I'm little bro and big bro all at once. Just left the lab with young 21 Savage. I'm about to go on me, jigger for lunch. Had a long talk with a young nigga Kodak. Reminded me of young niggas from Phil. Straight out the project, no faking, just honest. I wish that he had more guidance for real. Too many niggas in cycle of jail. Spending their birthdays inside of a cell. We coming from a long bloodline of trauma. We raised by our mamas, Lord, we gotta heal. We hurting our sisters, the babies as well. We killing our brothers, they poison the well. Distorted self-image, we settled the fail. I'ma make sure that the real gon' prevail, nigga. I just poured something in my cup. I've been wanting something I can feel. Promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm don't make you real. Foot is on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand don't make you real. Money.